First Samuel 15. We're going to read from verse 22 to 23. Who is reading for us? Someone should read for us. Elizabeth, you want to read? Let Elizabeth read this one. You know, Elizabeth, I hear the Lord say that you are a very useful person to me. You know, there's some parts I won't say. But God is saying that you're a very useful person to me, and he loves you very much. And you need to learn how to accept my love. That's the love in this case, is Jesus' love. You know, there is nothing that you come hold, man. There is nothing there is no deficiency. You know, there is nothing that you need that he has not provided. And there is no shortcoming. You have to believe my word, says the Lord. I hear me. Yeah. You have to believe God. All right. Who is going to read for us? No. It's give her the mic. Give her the mic.
So Samuel said, As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice.
What I said to you, take it seriously.
Yes, sir.
Take it seriously. Yeah, read. No, read from the Bible. Read from the Bible.
So Samuel said, as the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to eat than the fat of rams.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. So Samuel here is saying to Saul that has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. You can sit down. Thank you. As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed and the fat of rams. That first statement is a very interesting statement. As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. And this is a very popular scripture that we quote. I mean, no, obedience is better than sacrifice, you know. If I were to ask you what it means, most of you might not understand what it means, you know. You know, when we say obedience, you know, maybe we just use that phrase out of context, out of, you know. And what I want to teach today is to understand what that particular phrase means. Has the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord. You remember what I was saying is that we need to understand God so that we can relate to him, but because he's a person. Abina. So now they're telling us one of the aspects of his personality. Do you see that? Huh? You see that, Abby? All right? Samuel is saying that God prefers obedience to his voice than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Amen. Now, the reason why this is a very interesting statement, you know, when you're reading it with holy eyes, you might think you are just reading and pass. But this is actually a very interesting statement because the person that they're talking to, which is Saul, had previously just tried to please God with burnt offerings and sacrifices. Abina, he gave a very large sacrifice. Now, the point is, why did he have that impression that he could please God with burnt offerings and sacrifices? Why did he have that impression? He had that impression. Are we together? Are we together? If you're with me, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He had that impression because the primary way of relating with God in this time was through burnt offerings and sacrifices. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? That was the primary. When a man said, I want to worship God, what he's saying is that I want to go and offer up sacrifices to God. Now, when you say you want to worship God, what you mean is concert. Abina? If you say I'm going to church to worship, what is coming to your mind is music. Abi? They go to church, TY concert, whatever, you know. But in this time, when a man says, it's like when Abraham wanted to go and sacrifice Isaac, what did he say? He said, me and the Lord are going to worship. People are looking at me as if I'm talking. Oh, God. Amen. People are looking at me as if I'm talking French or German or something like that. Aisha, do you know what I'm talking about? Abraham said, me and the Lord, we are going to worship. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to show that scripture. You're going to read it. Me and the Lord are going to worship. So when people typically say, people typically say they are going to worship, what they mean is offering and sacrifice. So when Saul is giving offerings and sacrifices, in fact, they even have a law around offerings and sacrifices. Hallelujah. They have a law, like a very detailed law. These are the kinds of offerings you give. These are the kinds of, you know, it's very structured, you know. No, listen, you look for it later. You look for it later. Now, listen to me. They have a very structured method of pleasing God. And the way it was presented by Moses, it is that this is the way you would please God. If you give God bull, if you give him lamb, you know, at various points in time during the year, at various places. Okay? So there's one you do in the outer court, there's one you do inside. There's one the one you do inside the holiest, is the one the high priest does once, you know, very detailed methodology or you know, just detailed description of how to properly please God. And it was presented, are you with me? And it was presented in a way that this is how to please God. And even the example we give of Solomon, why did God come and meet Solomon in a dream? Because he gave 1,000 sheep, or goat, I don't know which one specifically. Do you know what I'm talking about? Deborah, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. And the God came to see him at night. So you're not out of place. My point is, okay, you're going to show them. Go back to 1 Samuel 15. My point is that it is not out of place for someone to think that God has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices. Do you understand my point? Like, if you think that, you are not thinking something wrong, because the impression of God is that, yes, this is how to please God. God is the one that told them that if you want me to be happy with you, do this. But you see, this statement, there is something about it, right? Which is that it's not that offering a sacrifice is wrong. It's that when you compare it to another thing, are we together? When you compare offering a sacrifice to another thing, that other thing is more important than offering a sacrifice. What's the thing? What's the thing? Look at the. What's he comparing offering a sacrifice to? Obedience. So what Samuel here is telling God, or is telling Saul, is that when you compare obedience to the voice of God. Can we say obedience to the voice of God? To offerings and sacrifices. No, don't say that. When you compare it, they are unequal. And you know, that's the interesting thing about knowing someone. I might know that you like Bounty, but I don't know that you like Skechers more than Bounty. Abino, you know. So you cannot assume You know, that's the thing about God. And that's the problem people always have. People always assume, you know, you assume that this is how God is. At times, because you can't see him physically, you just create your own version of God and you call him God. Yeah. You hear people say things like, God cannot kill. That's the 2026 version of God. Hallelujah. You know me, shout hallelujah. So, what we want to look at is to understand why is it that obedience, or what does this statement really mean? Let's go back a little bit. Let's look at the very first sacrifice, Genesis 4. Let's look at the story of the first sacrifice. Who's reading for us? Who wants to read? All right. Let's give an answer to the mic. I'll tell you when to read. So, when God created man, are we together? Are we together? When God created man, now, it's important to note, you know, the very first person that made a sacrifice was God. I mean, they told us that, it was even later in the New Testament that they told us that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. Meaning, many people link that back to the lamb that was killed, you know, when God created clothes for them. I won't officially teach that because the scripture did not say that. That's more like an assumption. But at least the first human sacrifice, meaning the first people that presented something to God, was Cain and Abel. The first recorded, you know, that presented something to God was Cain and Abel. And we see this in verse 1 to 6, how God responded to the first offering from men. All right. I know it's in, you can read. So you read from verse 1 to 6.
Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell.
All right, stop here. So, you can stand up. So, both of them, what was Abel's occupation? Keeper of sheep. What was Cain's occupation? Tiller of the ground, so like farmer, right? And they brought something to God. Now, why do you think God rejected Cain's offering and accepted Abel's offering from what we just read? Why do you think God accepted Abel and rejected Cain? From what we just read. Anyone want to try? Please, let's give her the mic. She said something very powerful.
So I think Cain, because of God, the reason why God rejected Cain's offering was because he brought just some of his harvest that he made. He didn't bring everything. But what Abel brought his first fruit, if that's the word I'll use.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's so what she said is that, like, maybe out of 100%, Cain just brought some that kind of thing and brought it. That's what you're saying now. All right, let's go back to verse maybe 3 or so, where it shows All right. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. All right. Verse 4. All right. Let's go back to verse 3. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. Let's read loud. 1, 2, go. Okay, now, you see the story that Joy told us, that he had fruit, so he just brought some, you know? Is that what he said there? Is that what he said there? Eh? What? Some. What scripture is that? NLT. Okay. All right. So, let's go to the NLT version. All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Okay, now, what this thing is saying, is it the same as what she said? What did she say now? It's the same as what she said. What did she say? She gave us the whole story now that maybe the reason why is that there was a lot of this thing here. And then he brought the Abina. Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Ah, what did you say? Say it again. What did you say? Say it again. Hold on. Say it again.
I said when it was time for harvest, when he has planted, yeah. So he only brought, like, maybe say he had, maybe he planted a lot. So he just brought like small of his portion. That's what I said.
Is that what they wrote here? No, what she's saying is implying something. What she's saying is implying that Cain did not bring enough. Abi now. But when you read this thing, is that what this... Did he say that Cain did not bring enough? He's not saying that. So you are imposing your meaning on some. Some is not bad. If I give you some of my money, it doesn't mean I've given you 2 naira. You get my point, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? So that's some. I'm highlighting it because this is a major doctrinal issue that, you know, people, at times we impose our story. So most times it's what we can do, because maybe I have the experience of, you know, I brought 5,000 naira to church, then time for offering. I now open my pocket, I saw 1,000, I put it back. You know that feeling now? You're not looking for 200, you know that kind of thing. So at times when we read the scripture, we're imposing our meaning on it. Even this version of scripture, it says that he presented some of his crops. He's not saying it's a good sum or it's a bad sum. Jay, do you understand what I'm saying? He's just saying he presented, he's just making a statement of fact. They didn't put positive or negative on it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, scripture speaks for itself, right? Let's go to verse 4. NLT too. Don't move from NLT. So that you see that it's not a version of scripture that is there's and there's no issue. Verse 4. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. Now, when you see this thing now, you will then see that best and compare it to the sum. You see the best and compare it to the sum. You say this one brought the best, this one brought the sum. So therefore, it's because Abel brought the best. This guy brought the sum. But that's still an imposition, because the reason why God rejected the offering is clear. Read the last part of that verse. What did the Lord accept? What did the Lord accept? What did the Lord accept? So why did God accept Abel's offering? Wait, let's give them the mic.
Okay, so I guess it was the heart posture. Maybe God searched the inward, like the heart.
Okay.
And he accepted it.
Okay, Samuel.
Okay, for me, so it's a sacrifice. And there was one psalm that David was like, I'm paraphrasing it, I will not give God anything that does not cost me. And it's not a sacrifice until it costs you. And Abel gave his best. That's the obvious. The firstborn of his flock. And the firstborn is usually like considered.
Hold on. You are imposing later understanding. You are being unfair to Cain. Because at this point in time, there was no Moses to tell them to give firstborn flock or anything like that. Too. And there was no way in which Cain could have given flock. That's not his occupation. He's a farmer.
So okay,
Calm down. He's a farmer. There is no way he could have given sheep. Now, what she said is, at it, what did God accept? Abel and his gifts. Go to the next scripture. But he did not accept what? And his gifts. Do you see that? So the reason why God accepted Abel's offering was that he accepted Abel. He rejected Cain's offering because he rejected Cain. Amen. Go to the next. This made Cain very angry and he looked dejected. Go to verse 6. Now God now came to have a conversation with, you can sit down. God now came to have a conversation with Cain. And he said, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? Verse 7. Can we read this together? 1, 2, go. Amen. So, God is now talking to Cain. It's not like, so picture a story. They come, they bring offering. God looks at both of them. He accepts Abel. He rejects Cain. Cain is now angry. He now goes to Cain. And the conversation is now, you will be accepted if you do what is right. So it's about you. The reason why I rejected the offering is that you are not doing what is right. And then there's a sin issue around you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Right? So God is coming to him and he's saying, unless you can sit down. And he's saying that because this conversation of sin, it's a past conversation, meaning sin has been close to you. It's not like at this point in time, sin is now. It's like sin is crouching at the door. So before now, sin, you have been going closer to sin. Do you get my point? All right? So in other words, before now, Cain has not been living a lifestyle that God approves of. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is there giving him advice. You must subdue it and be his master. Next verse. One day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Hallelujah. So you see the end of that conversation. Right? They brought offering to God. God looked at both of them. This guy, you're not pure. So he rejected him, rejected his offering. Now, Cain obviously was thinking like this. Maybe he was thinking that I did not bring lamb. He assumed that. But God now requires, he said, no. There's sin. If you do what is good, I will accept you. So now prove him. He now went further into the sin and killed Abel. Hallelujah. So, this entire journey, you now see that, are you sleeping? So you now see that, so you understand what Samuel was saying, Abby? Do you understand what Samuel was saying? What he was saying, obedience better than sacrifice, essentially, right? That actually, God primarily looks at people before their substance. Are we together? Let's look at something that Jesus said in Matthew. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 5:23.
All right. And let's take a read for 23 and 24.
Therefore, if you bring your gifts to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift.
Hallelujah. How many of us have seen this scripture before? Okay, cool. So you see, Jesus is now teaching. And he's now saying the same thing, that you can't before God be fighting. You know, you're fighting. Maybe me and you now, we have beef. You know, we have beef. We are fighting. Maybe even through punch yesterday evening. Then today is now Thanksgiving in church. We'll not be, come and see what the Lord, you know. You're not going to, you're not even want to drop 1 million in the offering basket. You know, you big Ghana must go. Yeah. What Jesus is saying is that state of fighting with your brother is more important than the offering you want to give. Are we together? So he's re-echoing what we've been looking at, right? So Jesus is saying, no. Don't think that the money will overcome the issue that you and your brother have. Go. Don't give that thing yet. Because if you give that thing in that state, God will reject you and your offering. Are we together? So the body, the person, is the primary thing that God looks at. And this thing makes sense because, I mean, you have to think about it. It's like, now, can you give me, if you say you want to give me a gift, tell yourself the truth. If you buy me, how many of you know 3310? You know 3310, you know. If you buy me water gun, you know, if they say you should buy a gift for me now, you buy me a water gun, what do you think? Do you think I'll be happy? You buy me water gun, you know, are you going to buy a water gun for me? You know, the point is that because of my person, there are things I can relate with, there are things I can't relate with. It's children that play with water gun. Well, no, adults can play with water gun. There's no issue. If you like water gun, there's no issue. I'm just talking about me myself, right? So, God is spirit. You can't primarily think. I don't know if you are following what I'm saying. Can you help him, please? God is spirit, right? So, okay. Like now, if in this offering, you know, it will seem like I'm talking because I'll still come back to this giving issue. But if you are to transfer, 500,000 to church accounts, what's God going to use the money to do? Does God use money? Hallelujah. He's a spirit. Do you understand my point? He's a spirit. So he looks at people. He accepts people. He rejects people. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So, in the Old Testament, they had an understanding of sacrifice as a physical. So, when people said they wanted to sacrifice, they would. I need to finish this thing, you know, because if I don't, you know, when you teach this thing, somebody will now go back home and say, the offering I'm giving the church does not count, you know. So. The journey, we must finish it, and I'm still going somewhere today. But typically, when you talk about, are you with me? Are you with me? Are you learning? All right. So what I'm saying, you know, I said about understanding that thing of obedience is better than sacrifice, right? It's about understanding it, you know. So in other words, what I'm saying is, how can you please God? That's how I can tell you to this message. How can you please God? So when people wanted to please God in the Old Testament, you know what I mean by Old Testament? What do I mean by Old Testament? Before the sacrifice of Jesus. No. That's not Old Testament. I know what you're trying to say, but you didn't say it well. What's the Old Testament? It's a specific thing. Old Testament. What's the Old Testament? Yes, the law. Okay, so that's what you didn't say. The Old Testament is what we call the law of Moses. Are we together? What Moses gave. Don't worry, I'm not frustrated or anything. Please don't think I'm frustrated. I'm laughing because of I'm not laughing at myself. You know, it's myself I'm laughing at. The law system that Moses gave, the law, right? What Moses gave to the children of Israel, that is the Old Testament. So Abraham was not in the Old Testament. Are we together? Same way Jesus was not the New Testament. Even though that's in the book, that's where they put it in. But the New Testament started after the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's when the New Testament started. Do you understand my point? So in the Old Testament, for you to please God, you had to give a sacrifice. You had to give a physical sacrifice. That's why I was saying that. That's why Saul thought, it's like maybe some of you do it now. You've messed up in the house. You just go and clean the, you know what to do so that the mess up would be covered up, right? So it was that kind of thing, right? And you will give a physical sacrifice for many things, right? Typically, for you to have a sacrifice, you need two things. You need a sacrifice, meaning you need to have the thing you are sacrificing. Are we together? Okay. You need to have the thing that you are sacrificing, and then you need to have an altar. Okay? Are you hearing me? You need to have an altar. The altar is the place of the sacrifice. You cannot sacrifice anywhere. They are designated places. So you need to have the thing you are sacrificing. Then you need to have the place of sacrifice, which is the altar. So in the times of Abraham, Abraham would go to various places, a mountain, various places. Abraham would make his own altar and do things like that. And in Israel, they had altars. So they had the altar in the tabernacle, you know. And even when they went into idolatry, they also had altars. When you read maybe Kings, the time that Israel was backsliding, you see a thing they call high places. Those high places are altars of the idols, maybe Baal or whatever they used to worship. Right. Are we together? Are we together? So what are the two things you need for a sacrifice? And the altar. What is the altar? The place of the sacrifice. Yeah. Good. Do you like this thing I'm teaching you? Okay. And then typically when you go and make a sacrifice to God, though, you're usually going for an outcome. So if you want maybe, for for instance, what the high priest used to do once a year, the outcome of that sacrifice is atonement. Okay? Is atonement, right? Meaning the people will be temporarily cleansed from the effects of sin. Temporary. Or at a shallow level. In some other places, it could be advancement, it could be covenants, meaning at certain places, after Abraham does his thing, you see this a lot with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, after they do their thing, then maybe God will come and establish a covenant, or there'll be a deeper walk with God. Maybe God will take the level of his relationship to a new level, or things like that, right? So my point is that my point is that when you make a sacrifice at the altar, typically God will respond. Okay? There are consequences of that sacrifice. And even in the people that study demons, you know, which is a very funny thing to study, you know, they like to talk about how, I don't know, maybe some of you have even gone for prayer meetings where they said you need to break the altars of, I mean, your family, you know, things like that. Okay? Why are you laughing? There are no altars in your family. There's no demonic altar in your family. So you don't know. You don't know. Okay. But some of us know now that some of us know that there's demonic altar in our family. And that's one of the other reasons why I'm teaching this thing. What I'm teaching is the solution to that thing. Okay, so hear me well. Hear me well. So, you know, we like to talk about altars. And I want to beg you guys, you know, are you hearing me? Please, don't do what is not in your Bible. Okay, that's why you need to know your Bible. Can you tap your neighbor and say, you need to know your Bible? Tap them again and say, you need to understand the New Testament. Yes, you need to understand the New Testament. You need to understand the New Testament. It's important. Very important. How is Rose? How is Rose? Is she... tell us. Is Rose still there? Okay. Is she sleeping? Okay. Huh? All right. Are you going to check up on Rose too? You're going to the restroom? No, come back here. Hold it. Hold it. I'm sure it's hold it. This is like your third time I've seen you. Huh? Second. And I'm close. When you said no, I was thinking you say I've not gone. But he says second, you know. So please hold it. Hold it. With it. You don't do everything your body is telling you to do. You have to learn how to control yourself. What was I saying? Huh? What? Yes, yes, yes. You need to understand. Tell your neighbor, you need to understand the New Testament. Yes, 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 yes. You need to. Very important. Amen. Very important. You can't be more scared of Satan than God. Okay? At times, there's a way you do... now, demons are real. You know, bad things happen, obviously. Satan is a bastard. But you can't be, you know, be more aware of what Satan is doing than what God is doing. Are we together? Yeah. And I've told you already, don't go and carry the demons that your parents have, you know. Don't assume that your parents' battles are about. It's a false assumption, you know. Amen. Anyway, let's continue. Now, in the New Testament, this is what I mean by understanding the New Testament. Okay? When you understand, because everything in the Old Testament has been improved in the New Testament. Obviously. Right? But you see, the form, the principle is still there, but the form is not the same. Do you get what I mean? Eh? In one place, the Old Testament was called the shadow of the New Testament. What's your shadow? Your shadow is not you, but your shadow looks like you. Have you now? Right? You can't have no shadow. Everybody has shadow. Have you now? I know some movie, a horror movie, where they say vampire doesn't have shadow. But trust me, everybody has shadow. Right? Now, your shadow looks like you. It follows you everywhere you go. Have you now? Right? But your shadow is not... Imagine somebody thinking that your body shape is your shadow shape. You know, depending on the angle of the sun, so maybe your shadow is tall like this. Your shadow is... Have you now? Right? So while your shadow is a form of you, it is not you in fullness. It doesn't have your full form, your full personality, your full character. So in other words, it looks like you, but the form is different. So that's what I mean, right? That the New Testament, it still mirrors the Old Testament. That's why God did not discard the Old Testament. But the New Testament is the end point. Is the real picture. Are we together? Huh? This does not mean you can't read the Old Testament. What this means is that you have to read the Old Testament with New Testament eye. Amen. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? Let me give you an example. When Elijah was... Is it Elisha? I was walking and some young boy started saying, Gurimapa, Gurimapa. Abina, what did he do? He caused them. And after he caused them, bear came to eat all of them. Abina. Now, when Jesus was walking with his disciples, the disciples, some people were mocking them too. A similar scenario happened. Many, they went to preach in some places. I know where you go to, you know, just like now. Have you gone for personal evangelism before? You know, some people talk to you rudely. I mean, maybe some people, maybe they're even Muslims. So they'll be like, I beg, I beg, I beg. You know, or they might not be Muslims. You know? Have they poured water on anybody here before? No, they pour water on you. Okay, no. But no, they pour water on some people. They chase some people with machetes, like, you know. So, Jesus and his disciples went to preach somewhere, and they were rejected. And we don't know the level of the rejection that they were rejected, but it was a level to the point that the disciples wanted to replicate Elisha. Abina, what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? Who knows what Jesus said? When the disciples said, they're already trying to help you. And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? Verse 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, what did he say? Let's show it in NLT. Verse 56. Oh, okay. They removed that part. So, you can go back to NKJV. Which is a very strange. I need to look at that, you know. Why is that thing not complete? That's a very scary thing. Omission to make. So, they... Are we together? Huh? So Jesus Christ looked at them and said, no, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. Amen. Amen. So when you look at that scene in Elisha, right, when you go back and you read it with a New Testament eye, are we together? I want you to follow what I'm saying. When you understand the New Testament and you go back and you read that, because you see, some of you now will probably be thinking that, why is it that men of God cannot call down fire and burn the politicians? How many of you have thought that kind of thing before? Eh? It's because you are reading the Bible with Old Testament eye. Amen. 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 Are we together? You're reading the Bible with an Old Testament eye. In fact, you're even praying to God with an Old Testament idea that God should kill all the enemies of Nigeria. Have you not? Because you don't know the kind of spirits that you have. You don't understand how God now sees men in the New Testament. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right? Or me, I now come and teach you. Eh? That you should be very careful, though. You should be very careful around me. You should be very careful. Because if I don't see anything, your head can just go down like that. You know? That's teaching with Old Testament eye. Hallelujah. Are we together? So, let's go to Romans 1. Or Romans 12, verse 1. Can we read together? One, two, go. So we don't no longer kill goats. What do we not kill? Huh? Talk now. Our bodies. Meaning, in the Old Testament, for you to please God, the sacrifice you offer is a goat. Right? But now, the sacrifice you offer is yourself. Are we together? Why? Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Do you understand? So you are now the sacrifice. Your body. Present your body. This body is now a sacrifice. Meaning this body, how this body, what this body does, gives God pleasure. Amen. Are we together? Are you understanding what I'm saying? I know I'm speaking in clear terms. I'm not, you know, what this body does, how this body is used, gives God pleasure or not. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Let's start from verse 10. So when we say we are presenting ourselves, you know, it's a... please, everyone, look at me. Look at me. Are you tired? Are you tired? Even you're never answering yourself. Are you tired? Are you tired? I'm talking to everybody now. You're tired. Okay. Endure it. We'll soon be done. In like 5 minutes, we'll be done. So, when we say we are presenting ourselves, it's totally different from how it used to be in the past. In the past, you don't present yourself. You present your offering. Before God. Are we together? But now it's yourself you present. Do you understand? The totality of yourself. Your thoughts, your actions, your lifestyle, it's your whole body. That's what it means by body, is a figure of speech. Okay? In Hebrews 13, verse 10, it says, we have an altar. We have a what? From which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. So he's trying to say that we have a new type of altar. Verse 11. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are born outside the camp. Verse 12. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gates. So, the rest of Hebrews here is saying that, because, you know, there's no official, we say it's Paul, but really, you know, even though it looks like Paul, but, you know. So the rest of Hebrews here says that Jesus also, or rather, he's laying a whole thing, you know. Hebrews is really just about explaining Old Testament versus New Testament, okay? Help this guy. This guy is. So, the writer of Hebrews, please stay with me. Eh? Don't be tired. Tap your neighbor. Don't be tired. Are you tired? Okay. So, Jesus here, the whole book of Hebrews is about Old Testament versus New Testament. He's trying to explain, you know, what's happening. And then, he's saying that at this point in time, he's essentially just saying that Jesus is the new sacrifice and everything, that we don't need to be killing blood and bulls and goats anymore, but Jesus Christ has died once and for all. Okay? Let's go on. Let's go to 13. 14. 15. All right. Can we read together? 1, 2, go. Hold on. Let's start again. 1, 2, go. So, one sacrifice is yourself, Abby. Another sacrifice is what? The fruit of your lips. Are we together? It matters to God. Don't say it's too small. How you talk. Are we together? God here is telling you, this is the sacrifice. I count what is coming out of your mouth as sacrifice. Hallelujah. I count thanksgiving as sacrifice. Do you know what I'm saying? So, how to please God? Number one, present your whole body. Number two, the sacrifice of your lips. Thanksgiving. The sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The problem of the New Testament is that it's too simple. This thing I've said now, you know, it's too simple. That's the wahala. Can you see what I'm like? I'm saying that thanksgiving is important to God. Amen. Amen. If you told people now that the way to please God is to go to mountain and pray there for 5 days, people prefer that one than thanksgiving that they can do in their room. Hallelujah. How many of you have at some point in time felt that you have to do something crazy to make God like you? How many of you have felt that way? Maybe you have to, you know, have to do something crazy to show God that you love him. You don't have understanding. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, some people think that for them to make God like them, they have to fast. So the more you fast, the more God likes you. This year I'm going to get closer to God. that's not wrong. But this year I'm going to show God that I love him. What's my plan? I'm going to fast for 100 days. You can fast for 100 days. There's nothing wrong with fasting for 100 days. But you can't tie it to God liking you. Are we together? There's something wrong with your identity. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. So don't want to go to mountain when... please, let me ask Pastor Abike if she's going now. She just stepped outside now. Don't go to mountain when your mouth, you're not using your mouth well. Hallelujah. We'll continue next week. All right? Maybe we'll break it down, your body, your mouth, all those kind of things, right? The last one I was going to say is your substance. You know, the last is your substance. I'll explain that in detail next week. But what it just means is that, you see, it's very important, and you know, that's one of the things that we're going to do, you know, or that's one of the things that we're going to train ourselves on, giving to God. And I'll explain what giving to God is, you know. I need to explain it very well, help him. I need to explain it very well, you know, what giving to God is in a very basic way, so that you can understand that even if you don't have, you don't need to be rich to give to God. Are we together? You don't need to be rich to give to God. Okay? At any age, you can start giving to God sacrificially. Okay? But it's very important that you give to God, because your substance is where your, is like, you know, everybody's bank account is where their heart really is. So, it's like somebody tell you they love you. You know, those of you that maybe you're angry with your uncle, you know, every time you come and tell you, I love you so much, but he doesn't give money, you know, that kind of thing, you know, or he doesn't buy you toys or something like that, you know, or you tell you, oh, don't worry, come to my office, I'll help you, but then you go, the office will be locked, all those kind of things, you know, it's like that kind of thing, you know, there's mouth love, then there's, love is an action word, it's not what you say in your mouth, it's what you do, so fundamentally, if you can't divert, your resources are yourself. That's where your real value is. So if you can't put your money where your mouth is, do you get the expression? You can't be saying, I love God, I love God, I love God, and your money is not going there. Huh? I'll explain what it means. You know, to the people of God, I'll explain everything, right? You can't be saying, I love God, I love God, I love God, and your money is not going there. In fact, let me tell you something. The major reason for money is welfare. It's to help other people. Are we together? Huh? Are we together? Huh? Don't worry, I'll show you. I'll show you next week. The major reason for money is to help other people. You know, not yourself. You are the secondary reason. In fact, you are even like the third reason. You know, yeah. But even as you're the third reason, you'll still be enjoying your life. It's not like you'll be looking broke at that day, you know. But you are just like the third, you're like the third or fourth. After everything has finished, it's then you. You know, there are like some other things that are more important than you. You know, that's why you work hard, that's why you do everything, that's why you do everything. And that's how God will be blessing you. But can you see that pleasing God? Now, this is what I'll say and close. There's nobody that God cannot get satisfaction from. Hallelujah. Because we all have bodies and mouths. Are we together? Are we together? So there's nobody that cannot be a friend of God. Amen. There's nobody that God cannot like as per like, you are my person. There's nobody here. You have body, you have mouth. There's no big mouth, there's no small mouth. Do you get my point? Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, make us please you in the mighty name of Jesus. Help our hearts in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. All right. I know I've passed, but can we sing a happy birthday to